ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण।
हरे कृष्ण।
सो दिस इवनिंग्स टेक्स्ट Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, which is entitled The Contents of Gita Summarized, text 20. Chapter 2, text 20. Na jayate,
jayate,
mriyate,
mriyate,
va,
va,
kadachin,
kadachin,
nayam,
nayam,
bhutva,
bhutva,
pavita,
pavita,
ya,
sorry,
va,
va,
na,
na,
huyam,
huyam,
ajo,
ajo,
nitya,
nitya,
shashvato,
shashvato,
yam,
yam,
purano,
purano,
na,
na,
anyate,
anyate,
anyamane,
anyamane,
sharire,
sharire,
ना जायते म्रियते वा कदाचिन्।
ना जायते म्रियते वा कदाचिन्।
नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयात्।
नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयात्।
आजो नित्या शाश्वतो यं पुराणो।
आजो नित्या शाश्वतो यं पुराणो।
नहन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे।
नहन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे।
Okay.
Never. Never.
Jayate.
Jayate.
Takes birth.
Takes birth.
Mriyate.
Mriyate.
Dies.
Dies.
Va.
Va.
Either.
Either.
Kadachit.
Kadachit.
At any time.
At any time.
Past, present or future.
Past, present or future.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
I am this.
Bhutva.
Bhutva. Having come into being.
Having come into being.
Bhavita.
Bhavita.
Will come to be.
Will come to be.
Va.
Va.
Or. Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Bhuya.
Bhuya.
Or is again coming to be.
Or is again coming to be.
Aja,
aja,
unborn,
unborn,
nitya,
nitya,
eternal,
eternal,
shashvata,
shashvata,
permanent,
permanent,
I am, this,
this,
purana,
purana,
the oldest,
na,
never,
never,
hanyate,
hanyate,
is killed,
hanyamane, hanyamane,
being killed,
being killed,
sharire,
sharire,
the body,
the body.
Translation by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Please repeat. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death. At any time.
At any time.
He has not come into being.
He has not come into being.
Does not come into being.
Does not come into being.
And will not come into being.
And will not come into being.
He is unborn. Eternal.
Eternal.
Ever existing. And primeval. He is not slain. When the body is slain. Qualitatively, the small atomic fragmental part of the Supreme Spirit is one with the Supreme. He undergoes no changes like the body. Sometimes the soul is called the steady or kutashta. The body is subject to six kinds of transformations. It takes its birth from the womb of the mother's body, remains for some time, grows, produces some effects, gradually dwindles and at last vanishes into oblivion. The soul, however, does not go through such changes. The soul is not born, but because he takes on a material body, the body takes its birth. The soul does not take birth there, and the soul does not die. Anything which has birth also has death. And because the soul has no birth, he therefore has no past, present, or future. He is eternal, ever-existent, and primeval. That is, there is no trace in history of his coming into being. Under the impression of the body, we seek the history of birth, etc., of the soul. The soul that does not at any time become old as the body does. The so-called old man therefore feels himself to be in the same spirit as in his childhood or youth. The changes of the body do not affect the soul. The soul does not deteriorate like a tree, nor anything material. The soul has no byproduct either. The byproducts of the body, namely children, are also different individual souls, and owing to the body, they appear as children of a particular man. The body develops because of the soul's presence, but the soul has neither offshoot nor change. Therefore, the soul is free from the six changes of the body. In the Katha Upanishad 1:2:18, we also find a similar passage which reads, Najayati Miyati Vispachin Nayam Kutaschin Na Babuva Kaschit Ajo Nitya Shashvatu Yam Purano Nahanyate Hanyamane Sharire. The meaning and purport of this verse is the same as in the Bhagavad Gita, but here in this verse there is one special word, Vipaschit, which means learned or with knowledge. The soul is full of knowledge. Okay. The soul is full of knowledge, or full always with consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the symptom of the soul. Even if one does not find the soul within the heart, where he is situated, one can still understand the presence of the soul simply by the presence of consciousness. Sometimes we do not find the sun in the sky owing to clouds or for some other reason, but the light of the sun is always there, and we are convinced that it is therefore daytime. As soon as there is little light in the sky early in the morning, we can understand that the sun is in the sky. Similarly, since there is some consciousness in all bodies, whether man or animal, we can understand the presence of the soul. This consciousness of the soul is, however, different from the consciousness of the Supreme, because the Supreme Consciousness is all knowledge, past, present, and future. The consciousness of the individual soul is prone to be forgetful. When he is forgetful of his real nature, he obtains education and enlightenment from the superior lessons of Krishna. But Krishna is not like the forgetful soul. If so, Krishna's teachings of Bhagavad Gita would be useless. There are two kinds of souls, namely the minute particle soul, Anuatma, and the super soul, Vibhu-atma. This is also confirmed in the Katha Upanishad 1:2:20 in this way. Ano aniyan mahato mahiyan, atmasya janto nihito guhayam. Tam akratu pasyati vita shoko, datu prasadam mahimanam atmanaha. Both the super soul, Paramatma, and the atomic soul, Jiva-atma, are situated on the same tree of the body, within the same heart of the living being, and only one who has become free from all material desires as well as lamentations can, by the grace of the Supreme, understand the glories of the soul. Krishna is the fountainhead of the super soul also, as it will be disclosed in the following chapters. And Arjuna is the atomic soul, forgetful of his real nature. Therefore, he requires to be enlightened by Krishna or by his bona fide representative, the spiritual master. Oma Genati Brandyasya Gyanarganashanakaya Chakshu Unnitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Rukutatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha He Krishna Kruna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhiva Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Om Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyabhaya Paschatyari Shatarini Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gura Chishe Namaha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Himavya Divya Chavi Sundaraya Tasmi Maha Prema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna So I read the text over and the translation also. Najayate Miyate Bakarascheng Nayam Bhutva Bhavita Vanabhuya Ajunitya Shashvatu Yam Purano Nahanyate Hanyama Neshajire Translation. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existent, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Hare Krishna. So, with your permission and guidance and permission for my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami, His spiritual master, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada, the Parampara, hopefully I will use to teach you or tell you what they want you to hear. The soul has neither birth nor death at any time. That's why sometimes the word, English word is used appeared instead of born. The word appeared and disappeared. So that very much relates to the soul. The body gets born and the body dies. The soul appears and then disappears. That is the difference. That's why sometimes, especially for high-level devotees, we don't even talk about them being born, we just talk about them appearing. Yeah. The soul, whatever Krishna's age is, that's the soul's age. This is eternal. See, Krishna's eternal, the soul is automatically eternal. Because the soul is part of the process of Krishna himself. The difference is the soul is minute. Jivatma is minute and Krishna is big. But the quality of the soul is the same as the quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like the comparison is made of a drop of water from the ocean compared to the whole ocean. A drop of water is very minute compared to the size of the ocean. But the quality of a drop of water is the same as the quality of the ocean. Exactly the same thing. Its content is the same. It's just a minute quantity. Therefore, the soul can do some things. And the super soul, the Supreme Spirit, can also do some things far more than the individual soul can do. For example, if we go back to the same analogy of the drop of water and in the ocean, So an ocean can have a whole boat, ship, sail on it. You can't do that with a drop of water, needless to say, even though they have the same quality. The ocean supports a lot of wildlife, I mean a lot of fish life. Fish is different sizes, from the whale down to the smallest ones. The drop of water can't do any of that. It can't support, at least not for any appreciable length of time. So this is why we're limited so much in terms of what we as souls can do. And then in our situation, as is explained here, we are souls, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we have taken on the body and now here in the material world. So then Krishna is describing the qualities of the soul. There is neither birth nor death at any time. He doesn't come into being, means he's already living. So he has never come into being, no matter where the soul is gone. He's never been born somewhere. So coming into being is about born. He never was born, he doesn't get born, and he'll never be born. Physical body gets born. Unfortunately, the soul, because the soul is in the or coming to the material world, and it comes along with the physical body, so it seems like the person has just come. But that depends only, that is related only to the physical body. And that's why Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, qualitatively, he says qualitatively, the small atomic fragmental part of the Supreme Spirit is one with the Supreme. And sometimes, I know in the Bible, Jesus said that the Father and I are one. He made that kind of statement. And people have kind of difficulty understanding what that meant. They think the Father and Jesus are one, therefore Jesus is also God. Well, one means the equals, but he's not equals. Equals doesn't work that way. He's actually the Son, and basically he came here to the earth to do the work, to serve his Father. But he is not, in terms of quality, the same as nobody, as it says here, nobody is the same or greater than Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. That is not found anywhere. Nobody's at that level. So, Srila Prabhupada continues with the soul, that the soul undergoes no changes like the body. So, here in the material world, when a soul appears, they appear first, that soul appears in the womb of the mother. The egg of the mother gets fertilized, depending on whatever the body is. It could be human body, it could be animal body, whatever. There's a fertilization. Now, in the human body, we learn from biology that small fragment of the fertilized egg is very, very, very small. The soul enters at that time also. Okay? And the soul is the one who gives consciousness. The soul is because of the presence of the soul that the different parts of the body forms in the baby. Because if the soul wasn't there, then the body won't even expand to the different forms and form a full baby. That wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. It's because the soul is there. So the soul remains tiny the whole time. Why? Well, in the spiritual world, the soul is not tiny. It's not. But remember, coming to the material world means we've gotten in Krishna's doghouse, as they say in America. People who come to the material world aren't coming to the material world because Krishna is happy with them. It's exactly opposite. Exact opposite. The people have been envious of Krishna, and Krishna has taken them out of the spiritual world to the material world. So part of the reason why the soul remains tiny like that, dormant, tiny, if you compare it to the soul's activity in the spiritual world, it follows, and let's talk about the spiritual world, the soul is in its fullness, and its nature is also clear, and is living its nature, full of knowledge, eternal, and especially ananda, bliss. Inside the body, the soul is not undergoing any bliss at all. And also, it is very, very tiny, atomic. So that is part of the punishment of the soul coming here. When the soul goes back to the spiritual world, which is what Srila Prabhupada is leading us, directing us to do, the same atomic soul expands. In the spiritual world, it doesn't mean little. Expands. So it's its full, normal constitutional position and constitutional size then. But everything about the soul, even though it's atomic, it's still there though, while in the physical body. It provides, the soul provides a consciousness. I shouldn't say it, but he provides a consciousness for the physical body. The physical body is a machine. It is very much a machine. It cannot be active without the presence of the soul. It cannot. When the soul is not there, then the same body that used to be active when the soul was inside now can't do anything. And that's what we call a corpse. Even though all the parts are there, it just won't work. So it is the soul that makes the body seems like it's working. Just much like a car. You know, a car can go forward, it can go backwards, it can, you know, brake and all of that, but is the car a living thing? No, it isn't. It's a machine. When the body breaks down, we put medicine in it to fix it up. When some parts of the body breaks, well, just like a car, different things could be put, but a surgeon does that. Mm-hmm. And a mechanic does that for a car. But they, basically, it's along the same lines to tell you that the physical body itself is a machine that we use for a period of time. For a period of time. So, history is not history of, as Srila Prabhupada is saying, history of the soul. Because the soul has always been there. When we give dates to different things that happen, that's based on the bodies that did whatever they did. Okay. The soul at any time does not become old, as the body does. Therefore, as he says here, the so-called old man feels himself to be in the same spirit as his childhood or youth. The so-called old man, see, according to the soul, there is no old man. The physical body itself is old when the person is old. So the so-called old man feels himself to be in the same spirit as in his childhood or youth. And I can attest to that. Because I know there were times that I was in my 50s, 40s, I'm in my 60s now, 40s, 50s, 30s, 20s, and inside you don't feel different. You notice the, you know, the older you are, or at least when you're old now, the body is not as functional as it used to be. And I can remember sometimes in my 20s, you know, I mean, I hated playing tennis doubles. I didn't want to play with anybody else. I wanted to exercise, play singles by myself. If I play singles now, I'm in trouble. Because the body slowed down. But the whole idea of what you, the consciousness is there. The same things that I used to do when I was younger, I could do it. Now, I can think of it, but my body can't do it anymore. Because it slowed down. Okay, so it's interesting, but the consciousness never disappears. The whole, you can map out everything you do as an old man, that if you are young, you know you could do it. But the soul has, so because the consciousness is from the soul, though, that's how you can know. But then the body itself, that's got no. So forget it. You just think about it, but you can't. Just watch younger people do what you could think to do, you can't do yourself. Yeah, in everything, all different kinds of exercises, not tennis only. So that's what happens. But the consciousness always stays like he used to be able to do those things. That's why Srila Prabhupada says, the so-called old man, according to the consciousness, you're not old at all. The consciousness can think the same thing you used to think when you were little and figure things out. But the body, that's a different story, especially when you get older. So, then Srila Prabhupada decides, okay, so the body goes through 6 different changes. First, birth, and then growth, since it's living for some time, okay? And then how Srila Prabhupada puts his words is interesting. There would be children, and why the Sripapa is the word byproducts of the body. Byproducts of the body. The Sripapa didn't pay attention to the body so much sometimes when he puts his words. You say, oh, but it's like demeaning to say byproducts of the body when they're children. But based on the body, there is no need for pure devotee, first class devotee thinking of the body when he thinks of Krishna consciousness, which is based on the soul so much. So then he doesn't use words that are so kind to the body, you know, because the body actually gives us so many problems, and we're sitting here in the material world. He'd rather we be in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, souls are fully expanded. There is nothing material about it in the spiritual world. So that's why sometimes, you know, underneath this, he chooses his words that way. Byproducts of the body, namely children, but they are also different individual souls though, okay, that have also come. And they appear as children. Sometimes, and I know in Africa sometimes they're born, some people they will say, especially the older people, the grandparents, they watch somebody be born, they have their parents, okay, I mean not the grandparents, grandparents have their children which are parents, okay, and the parents have also children, and they watch some of the behavior of the grandchildren. And they say, it looks like this particular person that has come back. And they appoint a particular person who used to be, because in nature is pretty much very similar. And they remember what the person was like, you know, a child, and then and they compare like that. It may be the soul that has returned. They may be right, they may be wrong. But of course we know, consider Prabhupada's mercy, that the soul can in fact return. So, Srila Prabhupada says here, in a Katha Upanishad, the same verse as the soul described in Bhagavad Gita 2.20 is also described. One more thing that's added is the soul is full of knowledge. It's full in knowledge. I happened to watch a YouTube video, and it was one of the well-known priests who were popular in the country was interviewing the man, was interviewing this woman who committed suicide with a gun. And she said she experienced the hellish situation. But this is a near-death experience, as we put it there. So she came back into the soul and into the body. And they don't know Krishna consciousness the way it's described here. So they're describing it. And some things were quite interesting, but they were mentioning. The problem with many of the religionists is what we know to be fact, very important facts, when somebody is describing it, they don't pick up on it. They simply don't pick up on it. It's like something irrelevant. But in fact, it's a very important point, and I'll get to that point, that this woman made. She definitely was going to be bound for hell if she killed herself. Obviously, you don't go to heaven that way. So clearly, what she was headed for was not something good for her. But she said she was tired of life, and she was Christian, and before she used the gun, she said she prayed to the Lord to forgive her for what she was going to do. And then she said she was, and I don't want to be too graphic, she was going to put the gun to her head, and she had a voice say, no, don't do that. But she was determined she was going to do that act anyway. So then she decided she would put it to her chest. And she pulled the trigger, the gun went off. And the rest of it, she doesn't describe Shatavari, she doesn't talk about, I'm going to do this, because they don't know that these people. But then she saw, what she saw was, after a tunnel, going through a tunnel, she came to this point where there were a lot of people she's burning. And she described it quite accurately. Burning. And she saw the fire, and there were people screaming, and they saw her coming, and they said, don't come here. Don't come here. You'll suffer badly. Don't come here. Whatever it is it's going to take for you to get out of here, you do it, but don't come here. She met somebody that she knew, and this is the reason I'm saying this point, I'm bringing it up, soul is full of knowledge. She said, I saw the person, and immediately, just by looking at this person, I knew everything about them from beginning to the end. Now, see, the interviewer just let that go because he was more concerned about how she came back and they were going to do this thing about praising Jesus. For, you know. But he made an important point that this was a statement made about her soul. She knew the other person's life from beginning to end. Immediately, instantly, she knew when she saw that person. And I picked up on it immediately because, you know, that is the quality of the soul. It's, the soul is full of knowledge. Not knowledge about itself, knowledge about everything around it. You know. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada, his soul is full of knowledge. The person didn't come back. She didn't back come. She was taken out of the area to end the story, and then she came back into the body, which people by now should know. So people do die like that, and they return to the body. Mm-hmm. They're still thinking that when you die, you don't come back. But there's evidence now, from even what this woman was saying, that there's time that one can die and also return. Anyway, but that's besides the point. So the soul is full of knowledge, or full always with consciousness. So consciousness is a symptom of the soul. So to the point that Srila Prabhupada is saying that even if somebody doesn't know that the soul is within the heart area, if they don't know that, as long as there is consciousness, it still means that the soul is present, because consciousness is in fact a sign of life, and the soul is the one that gives life. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada talks about the minute particle soul, you know, Anu Atma, and then the super soul, Vibhu Atma. We know that they're all present in the body of the person. Okay, so there are two types of encased souls: the conditioned soul, that is going through changes in the material world, is in a physical body. Then there's also another encased soul, and that is the enlightened soul, who appears as a human, the spiritual master. Okay, also looks like same, but that's not a person in the prison in a sense of what we're going through to a conditioned soul like me. They appear like a human, and Krishna allows that so that we see the changes that we've been through. The spiritual master has also been through some sort of changes, so then we can relate to him and he can relate to us, and from that he uses that situation to help to liberate the conditioned soul. If we don't do it like that, then it'll be like, alright, we are conditioned soul and this is a high person here, right? And of course spiritual masters are acharyas. They teach, they talk, but they also live what they teach. And so if they don't live as humans like we are, and they live at a certain higher level, and it's obvious they're living at a higher level, we're not going to try to do what they do. Because when they say, oh, you know, they're so high, we're so low, therefore if they're perfect, then, you know, who's surprised? Who should be surprised? They're up there. So, yeah, human qualities are taken for that reason. So our life should be to connect in devotional service. Life in this world, and also in the spiritual world. The spiritual world they know, but the idea is to connect in devotional service the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna performing pastimes all of the time, and we have to have our life set up in such a way that we contribute in service to the pastime of Radha and Krishna. Those in the spiritual world understand this, and they live for that all the time. Those in the material world, unless now you know about Krishna consciousness, those who are living material life fully, they choose to live life for themselves, thinking that they will be happy that way. But they're an illusion. They are actually an illusion. So, for us, you know what life is like? Some days you get praised, another time you get blamed, sometimes you get honored, sometimes you get dishonored. But one thing we need to remember is, it has nothing to do with our souls. All of this has nothing to do with our souls. So to free up the soul, we have to perform devotional service. So for us, no matter what's going on in our lives, whether we're being praised or whether we're being blamed, we should still take our spiritual life and the activities we're supposed to do in spiritual life seriously. We never give up whether it's happiness or whether it's distress. Because all of that is related to the physical body and life here. This is a place where there's material happiness and material distress. That won't change. And it affects everybody, whether you're a devotee or not. But the difference here is, devotees are taught, we know the way out of here. In Kali Yuga, it's the chanting and the hearing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So success in life is to serve Radha and Krishna, whatever the situation is that we are in. And for us in the material world, at this time in Kali Yuga, the Maha Mantra is a superior mantra. Lord Chaitanya has come, even disguising himself, even though he's God, disguising himself as a regular devotee, but his main aim was to get everybody to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That pleases Krishna, that pleases Radha. When that is done, then our end of life, which is death, would be a successful one. Like Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj was leaving, he literally stepped over the head of death, death personified, into the Vaikuntha plane that came to take him. We should also think the same way. When we take this process seriously, then Krishna comes to take us back to the spiritual world. He may be disguised as death, but actually he's coming to release us from here. For the materialist, death means the materialist has lost everything they worked so hard for. The spiritualist, the devotee, also has things, but we do one thing with it. First, we use it in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay? And the devotees, and Guru. Second, we need to understand there's no need to be attached to anything because our home has way more things than we could ever hope for in this material world. So with that consciousness, when it's time to go, we just concentrate on Krishna and leave the rest of the material things. They'll be destroyed anyway, right? When Lord Brahma goes to sleep, nothing will be here. Nothing. So for that, you don't get attached to anything here. Now, the other thing, last thing I wanted to add is, we all hate pain. Maybe I speak for everybody, right? You don't like when you go through pain. And we've all lived life, except children, they've lived only a few years, but we've all lived, you know, 20, 30 years and so on over and past, 40, 50 years. So we all can look back in our lives, and there's some things that's happened to us that were so painful, we wouldn't want to go through it anymore. Everybody has at least one incident that they wouldn't wish it on anybody. Somebody may say, I wouldn't even wish it on my worst enemy. And they've gone through it. Those situations are good to remember, because if you remember it and you say, I don't want to go through it again, you're going to have to leave this material world for that to happen. You understand what I'm saying? You have to, if you've been through a lot of pain, there is no pain in the spiritual world. It's the only thing you get out. In your material world, there will be some pain, even in the heavenly planets. Ask Lord Brahma, Indra, when Bali Maharaj is coming, he asked Brihaspati, what should we do? So you can't fight them. You can't fight this whole army of Bali. You're just going to have to hide. The king of heaven had to hide. And that's heavenly planets we're talking about. What about the earth and what about the hellish planets? So, yes, one way a devotee can use a painful situation is whenever it comes, thank you Krishna for reminding me about it. Now I know I don't want this happening to me again, so I better take this process seriously so I can get out. So that's one use of the troubles that we've been through. Hare Krishna. So the soul never dies. It's not slain when the body gets slain, and the soul really doesn't get born. It only appears. The body gets born, and when the body dies, then the soul disappears. So we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Any questions or comments? Hare Krishna.
Some clarification I need, like, you know, soul has all the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
What about the memory?
The memory of?
Of all the events that, all the things that soul has the knowledge.
I asked my spiritual master the same question one day when he I taught a class in the morning and I was living with him at the time, and so I drive him to the temple and then drive him back, and I was also just same question exactly. And he didn't even let me finish. He interrupted me and then immediately said, the soul has a real mind. That's how he answered it. Let me explain. The soul has senses and mind. The body also has mind and senses. But the body's mind and senses are the ones that are living in this perverted life here in the material world. In the perfect world, in the spiritual world, when we don't have a physical body anymore, okay, the soul does in fact have all knowledge. All knowledge. So there is a mind of a soul. Yes, that's there. There's a senses of a soul. And we use all of that in the service of Radha and Krishna. Okay, so the soul does have a mind. Yeah, and that's spiritual mind. We have material mind. We're using material mind. Now, the soul is just making the body work, that's all. But that exists. So that is what knows the
other question I have about this is described about the soul.
Mm-hmm.
In the English translation, the word he was used. I thought soul didn't have a sense. There's no.
Yeah, the soul, I mean, I think it's just respectful to use the word. I had to correct myself. I used the word it once and I said, no, I shouldn't use the word, because the real person.
Like.
Yeah.
In the introduction part of Prabhupada has mentioned that he doesn't mean that the gender in the soul.
Yeah.
So it's just for the purpose of reading and understanding.
The purpose of the English language itself being what it is, it's really what to issue it.
Yeah, in the Sanskrit, there's didn't mention about that.
In the Sanskrit?
Yeah.
No. No, they didn't give a gender, not in that way. Not in that way. Yeah, it just means, sometimes people say mankind, they say man. But mankind meaning everyone, man, woman, yeah. So no, just at this, because of the way English is phrased, or the words, be more concerned about what's being said rather than the pronouns that come. Yeah, the language is that limited. Yeah.
Just to tag on to this point.
Yeah.
When you say that soul has its own senses and mind,
mm-hmm.
it means that it's devoid of any material nature, any matter. So does it have a form?
The soul, does the soul have a form?
Yes.
Absolutely.
What form would that be?
Well, our original constitutional position is like some of the bodies that we have now. They are human type, they are animal type, they are insect type, they are bird type. But it's not set up here like we are more intelligent than the birds. Mm-hmm. Shukadeva Goswami is a parrot in the spiritual world. Is Srimati Radharani's pet parrot is Shukadeva Goswami. And that is Shukadeva Goswami, can you believe that, you know? The one that spoke to Mahabharatam. And the whole story behind, if you like, we can talk about that too. But, so in the spiritual world, even the doors, even the grass, they have the same consciousness as the gopis. The gopis are not more intelligent. Here, based on a person's, how bad the person has been, then we demote it down to animal life and bird life and tree life and so on. But spiritual world has these same and even more, but imperfection. Perfection means everything is alive, every entity is alive. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you talk about the soul has form. Not only does it have form, but depending on the pastimes, the soul can change into another type of being based on whatever Radha and Krishna want. So, yeah, there's far more versatility.
That's
all
that
is here.
That's where the confusion starts.
Okay.
That what is matter? If we say that matter is something that is making the form, I am not a body, I am a soul.
Mm-hmm.
In this form, in the material world, we feel that okay, matter is this.
Yeah.
This is chemical. And
yes.
So we say that, oh, okay, there is something in the form of what is matter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why my question was prompted. What is it made of? Because, of course, it is high consciousness, but it's not matter.
It's not matter, yes. It's not spirit, it's kind of hard to...
Satchitananda.
Yeah, well, Satchitananda, yeah, I would say that it's eternal, it has all knowledge, and also in bliss. We can't compare matter to antimatter. First thing, we are told that the soul is 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. It's atomic. And it expands. We've tried doing that with the body. Can you contract yourself down to that kind of size? It's not possible. So there's no correlation in that way. Yeah.
I think that the language that we are using in English is not able to.
Right.
We cannot describe it in this language. Probably that's why it has it.
Yeah. If you want to hear about what Srila Prabhupada talks about language, languages, my spiritual master gave English a milder description. He says English language is a language of grunts and groans.
Mm.
And that's not as bad as your papa describing French, German, oh my God, he puts it in the modes. You know, French language is more the passion. And I'm finding nicer words. He actually described it. And it's actually more serious and more gross than this. German, he's describing, he said, the best language is Sanskrit. Mm. The demigods, that's their language, they speak Sanskrit. The devas speak Sanskrit. It's the language of choice. They can understand other languages, but when they speak themselves, Sanskrit. So yeah, from asking the question, you realize actually English is part of the reason. You know, some descriptions are made the way they're made because of the language we're using now, and it's, unfortunately that's the international language. So you know, we kind of for a while stuck with it. Any other questions or comments? Very good.
Yes. So, permission, can I add a little bit to the
absolutely,
question?
Absolutely, yeah, please.
So,
it's
when you say the spiritual body has a spiritual form, so that is the Sanskrit word we have used, the Prabhupada used, or Acharyas have used the word Swarup.
Mm.
So, we all have our Swarup, right? And that's the whole point when we go back to the basics, that we are soul, part and parcel of Krishna, and our duty is to serve Him. And that's why when we keep on serving, right, we try different services, and over a period of time, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you will realize what actually you like to do for Krishna, right? Somebody would like to prepare bhoga, somebody would like to make dresses, somebody would like to decorate them, or somebody just like to do the kirtan.
Mm.
And Krishna is unlimited.
Your point is probably it's more of a realized knowledge
right.
than a subject object. Okay, look at this, look at the board, this is what thing looks like.
Yeah.
I don't think it can be explained in those terms.
No, it's not possible.
More realized.
Yeah.
But we have to keep serving for that.
Correct.
We cannot just keep on listening. Different knowledge helps, but then you have to act on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you can try different services. That's the whole purpose of this is all fun.
Yeah.
That's why we call it a fun. You first listen to the theory, then you apply.
Yeah.
Just like in our college days, right? We try different subjects, different jobs, and something you like, and then you get hooked to it, if you're lucky.
Still though, there's this. It's not the easiest thing to try to
yeah.
figure out what the soul is like when you hear it. But I know my spiritual master gave one analogy. Suppose you are from a temperate country. Say you're from Africa, West Africa, close to the equator. You've never seen snow. And somebody's trying to describe snow to you.
Mm-hmm.
They can try to use words, but they can only go so far. You're going to have to see snow and touch it and feel it and feel what it's like. So that's the way it is. We've forgotten, see Papa, we've forgotten what we're like in the spiritual world and what life is then is like in the spiritual world. So you can only say but so much. Really, really, really can't describe as vivid. And of course we're limited by English language too, to boot, you know. So, you know, you can only say but so much. But, and Srila Prabhupada, he stresses that life here is a difficult life, is a suffering condition, to try to get us out, rather than spending so much time talking about what the spiritual world is like. Lord Shiva has described quite a bit about Krishna himself, you know, his body, and sometimes he goes to body parts, he's got how beautiful he is, and still, we can only go so, we're fortunate enough to have, you know, bhaktis and actual descriptions. Srila Prabhupada came, and the Prabhupada disciples who were artists, he actually sat next to them and made them draw and draw until they got it close to what Krishna himself looks like. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, you see Krishna for real. This is Krishna, his mercy, as a deity form. But Krishna himself, if he appeared the way he appears to gopis, we won't be able to stand in this physical body even looking at him. His beauty is so intoxicating. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in this physical body, we will pass out. Just from his looks, just from his speech. And it's in Bhakti Trilogy. He actually takes one by one, describing Krishna's aroma. We won't be able to take it. It's so good, we will literally be unconscious from it. So, some things you can only describe to an extent, and Krishna, because we are now saying yes to him, and we are ready to serve him, and these eyes can't really see Krishna, so then, by his mercy, he has appeared in a material form that we can use our eyes to see, and therefore serve, so, and therefore express our love to him. But then again, he's Krishna. He can change material to spiritual, so then the deity is not actually material. Even though it starts out material, but, you know, but just to get us who have said yes to him, because the majority of people in the world aren't saying yes to Krishna. They're just trying to lead the material life. And so that mercy has been given, so we can serve, you know, we can serve Krishna like that. But Lord Chaitanya, a lot of people just by looking at him became pure devotees, because he was so attractive that their love for him was love put in the right place. So they automatically became devotees of Krishna, fully surrendered to him, because they liked him. In the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna, his chariot was being driven by Krishna. So some of the soldiers who met Arjuna, of course they didn't survive, right? Arjuna killed them. But the moment Radha Maharaj described it, they just for a brief moment, because I don't know, you know how the mind thinks so quickly. For a brief moment, they saw Krishna and the beauty, they were, even with all the, you know, dust and everything, still they could see from a distance. And those that saw, and it just clicked in their minds, oh, how beautiful he looks. Before they died, just that alone, automatic transmission, automatic sent back to the spiritual world, just appreciating Krishna's beauty. So, no, Krishna is extremely good looking. Extremely. He's extremely good looking. And the deity form, of course, the deity form is also connected with the pastimes. I know Jagannath, there's a particular pastime, why it looks like that, and so on. It's been a Madhava change to Jagannath Bahadeva Subhadra. And set up in such a way that we can, in fact, worship him, serve him, and at the same time remember pastimes connected with the deity. So we sing Ladu Gopal, you know, Srinathaji, Govindatai, and so on. But the Lord himself, we don't have the kind of eyes. If we ever saw him, we would never do anything material anymore. We would never stop thinking about him. Yeah, he's extremely gorgeous to the exponential degree, literally. Yeah. Any other questions? Comments?
I'm just trying to practice on another question. On the flip side.
Yes.
So there was, probably please correct me if I have some facts wrong, that there was a Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, there was a servant who used to serve him and who used to go along with him.
Yes.
And he fell, he was more into a gypsy life.
Mm-hmm.
So the opposite also happened. I mean, he what else, what better than being in the association of the Lord? He got into the wrong company. What would that be? Meaning, is this his karma that, you know, even after he got a chance, that he just let the golden rule go?
I will have you, I know you want to talk about it, I'll see a little bit about it. It's
a very interesting point.
Yes, very, very, very interesting point. You can go first if you want.
No, please, no.
Okay. And I'll say a little about it. That, there's so many angles to this. That shows the power of Maya. That's one of the things. That's the only thing that I want to mention about. That shows the power of Maya. That you have to, even when you're there in the presence of an elevated personality, and this is what you're telling yourself, an elevated personality, it doesn't mean that you're free from the influence of Maya. It does not mean you're free from the influence of Maya. So the protection should always be sought after. When you take the process seriously, the devotee relationship, the devotee association is very important. When you fell into a different association, then, you know. So Maya is strong, never stronger than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if we stay away from the process, yes, Maya can easily grab us, and take us away from it. Advaita Acharya, his sons were impersonalists too. Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu. And so his sons did even take the Krishna consciousness the way he knew. And he was the one that called Lord Chaitanya to come. So those are there to let us know, take the process seriously and be under the shelter of the Supreme Personality of God. There were people who were devotees of Srila Prabhupada, and they were around him, and when he died, they fell. When he left, It's not. So that happens. And see if I
was doing it. You said it right, probably. The other way to put it is like, when we came here, we came from the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was the case, that we should not have, if we are in the situation of spiritual people or realized people or the spiritual world, we should have never come down, right? So Krishna has always given us a choice, no matter what. Even if Krishna is in front of us, we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
That freedom is always there. So these are the pastimes that warns us that your devotion should be, your surrender should be complete 100%, 200%. You can't even afford to, you know, put your mind a single bit lower there.
And that's the only way you're going to be really happy, internally happy. You're connected.
And that's why we have to be very careful, even like this, when we are trying to realize our Swaroop, we can get into our ego, like somebody pressures us, you know, some wonderful seva. If it gets into your ego, then you are not realizing your Swaroop. Then you go into the mode of ignorance. So that's why the importance of guru or somebody who can guide you is very, very important.
And that's also why Srila Prabhupada did not, he said that's there when you get advanced, you can even see your form is spiritual before you get there, but he never really pushed it so much. You just take the service and the chanting and the hearing seriously. And through Srila Prabhupada, you go back to your spiritual world. If you die before you see your, you know, form going back to spiritual world, you haven't lost anything. Seeing it before and seeing it when you die, just making it, you see it before, you're still in the material world anyway. So he never pushed that so much. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says, every spiritual master is like a spiritual doctor. They know what to prescribe based on the person's thinking. So some things he stressed, and some things he didn't stress, even though he knew he was there. The devotees pushed him so much. They were hippies, those that he got initiated first. They were into drugs, and they were in the sex life, and all of that. So, Krishna has so many girlfriends. Then they started asking. They brought up a question of sex life. And Srila Prabhupada is looking at it, you know material sex life, which is, as he describes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 1, he describes sex life in the material world, Srila Prabhupada, as sex life in a diseased condition. So he is telling you, that's not sex. There is spiritual sex life, but not what you know here. Not what you know here. So some devotees asked him, what happened? So then he just said, alright, there is sex life between Radha and Krishna, but you will never understand it. You will never understand it. And he didn't go any further than that. Because he knew the thinking of those he was dealing with. Yeah, so some things would come out, and even at that time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, had books that detailed things about the spiritual world and devoted life and Radha and Krishna and their relationship. Srila Prabhupada absolutely banned his disciples from reading it. That is his spiritual master's book. Why? Because he knew that they would take what he says, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the wrong way. And start getting into Maya because they think they've read something and they understand it and they're doing this. Hmm? Just like those who said, our Lord Shiva drank an ocean of poison. Yeah, wherefore? Well, no. We also can do some things. Drugs and all of that. You know? It's horrible. And then those people who say, Krishna has so many girlfriends, why? He's immoral. No, all of these are wrong things. All of these are wrong. And so, some things, that's why Sri Prabhupada said, you read, don't even get into Krishna's pastimes yet in Bhagavatam. You read, know the nature as described by himself, his incarnations, like Lord Isavadeva, Maharaj Prithu, all of that. And then other disciples, other pure devotees talking about the nature of Krishna. Before you ever get to the pastimes, we get a little sense of appreciating what the pastimes are like. Yeah. Because otherwise you would say he breaks laws, but he's not under anybody's law. He owns everything. Any other comments, questions? Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you for tolerating me. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Vaishnava Thakur ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hare Hare Gaura.